One, two, check, one, two, I'll say. For the first time visitors, you can relax. Ek sing nie gewoonlik nie, so jy is meer as welkom terug te kom. Dis nie altyd so bad nie. I was just doing an adjustment to my brain over there. Bless you, hallelujah. I'm excited to be here this morning because where people dwell together in unity, God commands His blessing there. Amen. Mm. En wat twee of meer vergader in sy naam, is hy daar so teenwoordig. Hallelujah. Okay, we're busy with our series and our theme called Courage. And who's been, honestly now, don't put up your hands to make me feel good. You shouldn't be concerned about how I feel. But who's been learning something and has been challenged and encouraged to be more courageous? Anybody? In any area? Okay, the rest of you, keep coming to church. Someone online, God will encourage you. He'll encourage you to just do what He's called you to do. Amen. So we're busy with our sermon series called Courage. This is our seventh week on this topic. And today the title of the message is Courage to Make Mistakes. Courage to make mistakes. You into a place of tragic inaction. You're so afraid to make a mistake that you don't do anything. Can you relate to what I'm saying this morning? Years ago, there was a Christian group called DC Talk. And one of the songs that they sung had lyrics that went as follows. What if I stumble? What if I fall? What if I lose my step and make fools of us all? Will the love continue when my walk becomes a crawl? What if I stumble? What if I fall? And sometimes in Christian circles, people get so religious because of man-made expectations and man-made rules and requirements. En die woord daarvoor in Afrikaans is godsdienst, maar dit beteken religion made by man as to how he thinks he must get to God. So they walk like this. Who's watching? Maybe I can, maybe I can't. Okay. Is this okay? Is dit reg? Is allemaal happy hiermee? Dan vat hulle die volgende tree. En raai wat gaan gebeur? Eventueel gaan hulle struikel en val, lippe teen die klippe. Is this okay? Is this within the parameters or the confines of the rules of my church? Of die godsdienst wat ek geleer is? Van traditie, van ma en pa en familie traditie. They're so busy concentrating and being afraid of making a mistake that they get nowhere. And the condition of the church and the place where we should be when it comes to things of God this morning is as follows. You have the Word of God, which is our guideline, the basic instructions before leaving earth, the Bible, God's principles and values, the love letter from His heart to us over here on one side of the road. And this side we have the grace, the unconditional saving grace. I said the unconditional saving grace of Jesus on this side of the road. In between is the path. And we have freedom to move between God's words, His precepts. And the grace of Jesus, we have freedom to move. Fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despised its shame, and is sat down at the right hand of God. So, ons moet ons die blindstaar aan die genade nie, because then you'll do anything in the name of grace, and abuse what grace is supposed to do. And will keep you in bondage instead of liberating you. And you start yourself on hierdie ander kant, and you become religious, and rules and rules and regulations. But when you keep your eyes on Jesus, everything changes. When you keep your eyes on Jesus, everything changes. And when I keep my eyes on Jesus, I can walk in freedom. Hallelujah. I can walk and be free. And when I make a mistake, let's see what the scripture says about that. We're going to get there, but I'm running ahead here. I'm just so excited to be alive this morning. Sure, God is good. We have freedom, people. Freedom to be who He's called us to be. And when you're going to make a mistake, you probably made a mistake on the way here. Don't raise your hand. You made several mistakes this week, but there's grace for that. There's grace for that. And the enemy wants to come and he accuses you all the time. All the time, says day and night, he stands before God and accuses the brethren day and night. That's one of his names, not just the devil. He's the accuser that will accuse you all the time. God's encouragement to you this morning is, turn a deaf ear. Kapum a doova. Shut up in the name of Jesus. Lord, I can do all things through you. Strengthens me. And your grace is sufficient for me. And your strength is made perfect in my weakness. Don't let him accuse you, man. Somebody say amen. Amen. So here we are this morning. DC Talk song asks that question. What if I stumble? What if I fall? What if I lose my step and I make fools of us all? Will the love continue when my walk becomes a crawl? What if I stumble? What if I fall? I want to answer that question this morning. Yes, the love will continue. God's love for you will never stop, no matter what you do, no matter how much you do it, no matter how much you enjoy doing what you know breaks God's heart. He will not stop loving you, even if you've stopped loving Him. Come on, man, that gets you, should be excited about that. He will not stop loving you. He can't stop loving you. He is love. The scripture says that even if you make your bed in hell, He knows about it and He's there and He loves you. Folks, that's good news, man. That's good news. He can't stop loving you. He can't help himself. He is love. So my answer to that question is yes, the love will continue. Romans chapter 8. And I gaan stadig praat. I gaan my best probeer. But I'm like a well-engineered German engine. When it gets aan die gang, then just it, whoa. She's a common, you need an engine management system. Romans 8 verse 38 to 39 in the New King James reads as follows. I'm going to read it out of two translations because they both say it so beautifully. If something is worth being said, it's worth saying again. Amen. For I'm persuaded. He's fully persuaded. It's no more, ek wonder, miskien, well, maybe die Here my nie lief nie because of. Maar as die Here my lief gehad het, dan hoekom? No, this man is persuaded. Everybody say, persuaded. Thank you. I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah. There it is. Nothing can separate you from God's love. Nothing. The NLT says it as follows. And I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, nor power shortages, nor Eskom failures. Neither angels nor demons. Neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow. Isn't that beautiful? Neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow. They cannot separate you from God's love. Fear, folks, should not be separating you from God's love and purpose for your life. Don't let fear keep you out of God's purposes for your life. Don't let the devil get that right with you. Neither fears of today nor worries of tomorrow. But even the powers of hell can't separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation. Nothing in all creation. Nie eers jou eie hardnekkigheid. Nie eers jou eie ongehoorsaamheid. Nie eers jou eie tekort aan geloof. Sal jou kan weghou van Godse liefde af. Hallo? Maybe the devil has told you, ja, maybe you know. Man, ek het geen geloof. Mazia, I can't believe God for anything. Doesn't mean He stopped loving you. Doesn't mean He stopped loving you. Not even your disobedience will get God to stop loving you. There'll be consequences, hello? Some of you don't believe me. I'm going to say it again. There'll be consequences for your disobedience. But it doesn't mean God has stopped loving you. That's good news. That keeps me coming back for more. It's like a seriously, seriously delicious ice cream or a Wagyu beef steak. How many of you have tasted Wagyu beef? Dear Lord, nobody. Come on, man. It's like an angel's touch my tongue. You just want more and more and more, dan kyk ek vreedsaam. I want a vleisvreter van formaat as ek daai beesvleis eet, jekelstukkel. How did I get to talking about this? What? Oh yes, Now, come on, what is that talking about? Somebody help me. You see, the meat has just distracted me. What the point I was going to make? The consequences. I still don't get it. Unbelief. I don't know what I was saying. Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay, but all right, let's just get back to this here. Nothing can separate us from God's love. Something about taste and the goodness of God. Probably Psalms that says, taste and see that the Lord is good. No power in the sky, okay, above or in the earth below. Nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's you say, yeah, my Mozzie, how do I know God loves me? I did a memorial service for somebody this week, and interacting with a family afterwards, several people gave their lives to the Lord, hallelujah. So one dies and several people get new life. That's how God works. And I was ministering to one of these people afterwards, and she said to me, but how do I know? How do I know? And I shared with her what God needed her to hear. But His love is revealed to us in Jesus. When he said, somebody, you know, what's the size fish that you gevang? Nee, was so groot. Nee, was so groot. Was hy so groot? Nee, was so groot. Nee, was so groot. Ek het sommer my hands op vis gevang. So somebody asked Jesus, Jesus, are you really willing to die for this lot? They're going to crucify you, man. Can't you see that they don't want to receive your message? Can't you see that the very ones you came for are going to nail you to a cross? Jesus, can't you see that your family and friends are going to desert you and abandon you? Do you still love them? But Jesus, don't you know that you're going to run the risk, Jesus, of nobody ever choosing to follow you? Why go through all the pain and suffering and hurt and humiliation and shame of the cross? Why are you willing to run such a big risk, Jesus? How much do you love them? Is it this much? Jesus said, no. So the devil said, well, do you love them this much? Jesus is like, no. And the devil is like, because he's most a royal loser. He's a special kind of stupid. He said, Jesus, do you love them this much? Jesus is like, no. He says, well, tell me then, how much do you love them? And he spread his arms out as wide as he possibly could. And he let them be nailed to a cross. And he said, I love them this much. As wide as he could stretch his arms. There's been medically guesstimated that his arms were pulled out of its sockets as it bore the weight of his body for the sin of the world and us on that cross. That's how much he loves us. And it's through that that God's love is demonstrated to each and every single one of us so that today we can have freedom. Hallelujah. That's how much He loves us. Now, the authority to overcome fear of making a mistake comes from one person and one person only. He's not a force. He's not a phenomenon, but he's not some kind of a power or something like that, although he has power. We can only have authority to overcome fear. Fear. Real, real satanic fear. Through the person of the Holy Spirit. Only Holy Spirit. Only Holy Spirit. Him. Nee, die groot baas daarbo. He's not your boss, man. He's not your gabba. Your bra. He's God Almighty, the great I am. And He sent Jesus, who sent us Holy Spirit. Only Holy Spirit can enable you to overcome fear. Only Holy Spirit can enable you to engage demons of fear and get them to bow their knee to the Lordship of Jesus. So if you have fear this morning of making a mistake or something wrong, I want to tell you 2 Timothy 1:7, lots of you know what it says. Few of you live it out. You don't like what I'm saying? I don't care. I'm here to speak the truth. not to entertain people. Lots of you know what that scripture says, but you're not walking in that, in the promise of that scripture. 2 Timothy 1:7, I didn't give into the sound guys, it says this: God has not given you a spirit of fear or timidity, but one of power, one of love, and a sound mind. All three things only Holy Spirit brings. Power. Holy Spirit gives you ability to have power to overcome things. Holy Spirit gives you the ability to love the unlovable. Hello? Is anybody hearing me this morning? The Holy Spirit gives you the ability to love the unlovable. Hell, man, there are times I don't love myself. Oh, it's just me. Oh, Lord, Lord, these people are holy, Lord, and they anointed men and women of God. They love themselves all the time. Mwah. Kiss me quick before I kiss myself. There are times where I don't love myself. I don't love myself. I hate what the flesh wants to do. I hate my own stubborn will. I hate it. I hate it when I want to do things against God. I hate it when I don't want to conform my life and my mind to the mind of Christ. I hate it. I hate it. Holy Spirit will give you the ability to love the unlovable. It's easy to love each other because you're like, oh look, man. I'd like you to stick them here in Uradaisens. Too much plenty. Within reason, hey. But when it comes to loving your enemy, how do you do that? Somebody please tell me. How do you love the person? Pete, please come here, sir. Give Pete a round of applause. Face the front. How do you love somebody like this? How's it, my bro? How's it going? You know, and I stab him in the back and I'm twisting the knife. Sorry. I can't be doing you so hard to slam anyway. Pete's just busy groaning here. Sorry, Pete. Now you've got to have love for me, brother. How do you love the person that's twisting that knife in the back? Cry for you. How do you love someone like that? Do you love me?
I do.
I love you too, but how do you love someone like that? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit will enable you to love like that. Nothing and no one else. So, what's the role of the Holy Spirit in all of this? He gives us godly boldness, which is in total contrast to fleshly arrogance. The Holy Spirit gives us boldness, which is in total contrast to fleshly arrogance. Are you ready to read your Bible with me this morning? Okay, five of you are. The rest of you, lees 'n bolle tydskrif. Read your Bible, hallelujah. Follow the scriptures with me this morning. And it says as follows. Let's start with a simple basic task of just talking to people. Some of you have no problem talking to people. Some of you, we just can't keep you quiet. I know, I'm one of them. Ask Colette, she'll vouch for you. When I'm on a roll, she's like, oh God, when is he going to stop? Can he just please just stop? But I don't know, sometimes when a fire burns, it's difficult to put it out. Eh? But anyway, ja, ek weet ek praat te veel. Deal with it and forgive me. I love you, Nicole. Oh, Lord Jesus. Well, let's start with a simple task of speaking. Speaking and testifying. Sharing your story. Om te getuig as 'n Christen. But mosie, I'm not a preacher. I'm not an evangelist. I'm not a pastor. I'm not an apostle. I'm not a, you know, you're not a whatever. But you're a born-again man and woman of God whose life has been touched by Jesus. Get off your blessed assurance and go tell somebody. Two. Nee, maar wat gaan die mense van my dink? What if I stumble? What if I fall? What if I lose my step and I make fools of us all? That fear stopping you from testifying and telling somebody about Jesus. You don't have to get all preachy and teachy and thus saith hallelujah and the Yerra say. Come on, man. You just say, yeah, you know, this is what my life was like before Jesus. Can I tell you how it's been since then? That's all it takes. So, wat gaan met jou? Hoekom is jy so bly? Wat glimlag jy? Kry jou tande warm. So mense en vroue kom. They want to know. The scripture says the light shone in the darkness and the darkness did not comprehend the light. If you've let Jesus touch you, it is evident. It cannot be hidden. It cannot be hidden if Jesus has touched you. And when the people ask, you can say, Well, it's my best friend. Oh, yeah, who's he? Jesus. Tell me more. Because I want what you've got. But for some people, they are poep bang as a fluk for it, so I gaan dit nie sê nie. They scared spitless to speak. You know what that is? A demon called fear. Church of Jesus, listen to what God says to you this morning. That is a demon stopping you from speaking. Oh, the devil. Yes. You might not be possessed, but you're most certainly under demonic oppression and harassment. You don't like this preaching, do you? Cry for you. It's the waarheid wat jy sal vrymaak. Ek sê, it's the waarheid wat jy sal vrymaak. Tot jylle daar achter ook. You're afraid. You're afraid of making mistakes. God says it's time to stop being afraid. Step out in boldness and faith and do what He's called you to do. Because 1 John 4:4 says, greater is Jesus that's in you than he that's in the world. It's time. It's time. Of what say jylle? Or do you still want to play church for a few more days, weeks, months, years? You want to play church? I'm just asking. So when it comes to speaking, wat gaan ek sê? Wat gaan hulle dink? Ek gee nie om nie, maar sê gaan ek sê. Hallelujah. Luke 12, 11 to 12. The New King Jimmy. Now when they bring you to the synagogues and magistrates and authorities, do not worry about how or what you should answer or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach. Everybody say teach. He'll teach you in that very hour. Say very hour. What you ought to say. Now those are key words there. He'll teach you. So in other words, it's a process. You need to learn. How many of you, when you were born, when your little puikies or fuikies touched the inside of the incubator or the little baba beki wat hulle vir jou gehad het in die hospitaal, toe julle voete daai ding geraak het, you just started running. How many of you did that? No one. Oh, I thought it was just me. No. Een baba treekie van geloof op 'n slag. Childlike faith. You take a childlike faith step at a time to speak. And the Holy Spirit will do what? He'll do what to you? He'll do what to you? He'll do what to you? That's it. He'll teach you. He'll teach you what to say, when to say, and how to say it. And the good news is, He'll also teach you when to shut up. Isn't it, Paul? Sometimes we need to know when to just zip it. Just zip it. Because you don't only have your foot in your mouth, you've got your foot, your leg, your arm, your... He'll teach you when and how to speak. And then it says, in that very hour. Now here's the deal, what this means. This means the following. You're gonna feel what you think is adrenaline. And it is, because the Holy Spirit touches your body and He gets your adrenal glands to start pumping. I love adrenaline. I wish you could buy it off the shelf legally. It would be my favorite drink. If something gets the adrenaline pumping, I want it. I'm all over it. And so I married Colette. She keeps me on my toes. So you'll feel the Holy Spirit come upon your physical body and He'll start enabling you to do something where your head will want to say, fight or flight. Fight or flight. And just remain calm if there's butterflies, let them fly in formation and let the Holy Spirit, I say this respectfully, do His thing in you. And I say this to say this. I say that to say this. In your mind, you might not know and have worked out already what you need to say. Don't worry about it. It shouldn't be from your mind. It should be from the heart of God. So met ander woorde. Kom hier so bid. Ja, pak op jou. Ek het my drukkie het jou lang laas gesien. Love you big time. Okay. Vra vir my enige iets. Enige iets wat jy wil. Enige iets aangaande MotoGP, nee, ek bedoel dit wat Jesus gedoen het. Enige iets, as daar dalk 'n vraag is wat jy altyd wou gevra het, enige iets aangaande die voltooide werk van die kruis, enige iets, vra dit vir my, wat is dit? Enige iets. Wat jou tyd? Ek kan nie praat as jy op die spot is nie. Moet ek vir jou 30 sekondes gee? Okay. Terwyl jy daaraan dink. Anybody else? Just something about Jesus you want to ask. Yes, ma'am. Het hy ooit pak gekry as 'n kind? Yes. The scripture says that he was subject to his parents. After they found him in the temple in Luke 2:49, it's like, where you been, Jesus? He said, didn't you know I'll be about my father's business? And says he went with them and he was subject to them. He submitted himself to their discipline. I didn't plan that. I didn't pay Karen to ask the question. Hoe sal ons dit weet? It's called geloof. Raak ons slaaf van die twyfelachtigheid in jou gedagtes, broer, dat die Here jou vry maak. I didn't plan that. So where did that come from? The supernatural ability to recall scripture. You think, I know I might look clever, but I'm not. In fact, I don't think I look clever. That's right. I love honesty. I love honesty. Be real. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 26, the Spirit of God, Him will remind us of everything that He taught us. It's the Spirit of God that quickened that scripture to my heart. So in the very hour, the very moment you need to speak, the Holy Spirit will enable you to say what God needs to be said. Kom ons gee vir hom 'n lekker hande klap. Thanks for nothing. I mean, thanks for everything. So the Holy Spirit will teach you in the very hour you need to speak what you need to speak. You don't need to be afraid. It's okay to feel the adrenaline pumping. That's what the Holy Spirit does. That's exciting. Yoo-hoo, bring it on. Can you say amen? Then Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. This is getting exciting. Oh man, I just wish we had more time. Acts chapter 4 and verse 13. Now when they saw
the boldness.
When they saw
the boldness.
Hey, we're in church, you stay focused, but.
Hear my mozzie wacht, this is the boldness. Devil be gone in Jesus' name. Just don't eat me. Just don't eat me, devil be gone in Jesus' name.
No. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled. And they realized that they'd been with Jesus. Now what's happening here? They saw Peter and John and they knew that these are uneducated, untrained men. These are muchus. These are the kind of boys that nobody will want to employ because they doff. These are the kind of men that nobody wants to give a position to because they're just too stupid. These are the kind of people that you can't get them to do anything because they're just unreliable. You know, they do not cut the grade. They do not meet the requirements. Sorry, your application was unsuccessful. That's who these cats were. But they dared to believe Jesus. And the Holy Spirit got hold of them and they were never the same again. They were never the same again. And he did this. They saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men. And they realized they'd been with Jesus. Now listen to this. Uneducated and untrained. Training and education is good and it's necessary and it's a scriptural requirement. And if God has given you a talent or a gift, you must work on it, develop it. Let good, better, best, let it never rest till you're good, better, and you're better, best. Average and good is enemy of the best. Strive to attain a spirit of excellence in all that you do as unto the Lord. So training and education is good, but it is nothing compared to intimacy with Jesus. Now here's the example. I can have a 7-year theological degree and a philosophy doctorate and a master's and an honors in whatever and a PhD in whatever about theology, but if I haven't met Jesus, all I am is a clanging cymbal and a sounding brass, an empty vessel the scripture says. Wat help dit? Ek het daai kop kennis, maar ek het nie toegelaat dat die Here my hart verander en ek het nie toegelaat dat die Heilige Gees my hele lewe binne tree en my hele wese oorneem. I'm just a clanging cymbal and a sounding brass. I'm just another jaarbroer and a religious freak. That's all I am. But when you train and you study and you apply yourself to the word and you learn and you get a head knowledge of it and a basic working understanding of the scripture and the harmony of the gospels and polemics and hermeneutics and all those kind of things and all those other icks, when you got that and you let the Holy Spirit breathe His life into that, you become a tongue-talking, Bible-preaching, demon-chasing, world-changer of note that lives and loves like Jesus, that has Holy Ghost power in you, that people will be drawn to your Savior. There's a difference. That's why these men had boldness. They had boldness. The Holy Spirit had come upon them, and they were never the same. They no longer had fear. This is the same Peter who was such a yellow, livid, spineless wimp of a masculine specimen that he denied Jesus 3 times. Not in front of big breaker Roman centurions that could break him in half. Little servant girls. Oh no, I don't know Jesus. The same Peter. Once the Holy Spirit had gotten hold of him, he became a gospel machine of note. His first sermon, 3,000 people born again. Next sermon, 5,000 people born again. So full of the Spirit of God, people would want His shadow to fall on them because they'd be healed because of Peter's shadow. Because of Holy Spirit. So where are you today? No, you're not in church. You are the church, sir. This is just the building. Where are you today in terms of the boldness of the Spirit of God in you? And being fearless to do what God has told you to do? Is everybody still okay this morning? This is my introduction. Can I get to my sermon, please? Hallelujah. Moving right along. We just need to be available to speak in faith. Can we speak about boldness? Now, Acts 4:29 says, "Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word." Now the devil was getting upset and he started using people to try and stop the disciples any way and every way he could. Threatening them with violence, beating them up, throwing them in prison. "We're going to do this, we're going to do that." And the more they tried to keep them quiet, the louder and more they preached for Jesus. The more they tried to suppress the gospel, the more it came out. Hallelujah. So they threatened, "Ons gaan jou pak slaag gee as jy weer vertel van Jesus." They said, they just preached though. And the church grew and grew and grew and grew. And said, "Lord, grant your servants boldness." So that was their prayer. Lord, there's a lion living on the inside of every man, woman, and child that fears God. He's a lion of the tribe of Judah. He's not a little pussycat, a little kitten. Revelation 5:5, the lion of the tribe of Judah lives in you. It's time to let him roar. Everybody roar on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Oh, wow. I'm so afraid. I'm so intimidated. Come on, man. Listen, may we just have some fun this morning? There's far too many serious faces here. Asseblief toch. Het jy battery sier geslik en lemoensap gedrink? Sier lemoensap. Just for a second, can you shout out? Now folks, you might think it's funny, but this is deeply, deeply profound. Because spiritual forces feed off sound waves. Demonic forces and heavenly angelic forces feed off sound waves. That's how God spoke everything to existence, by the power of the sound waves of His voice. So, would you make out a shout to Jesus Christ this morning as if somebody's life depended on it? That's just very different to what I've just heard a couple of seconds ago. Because if you were to shout to save my life, I'd still be dead. So on the count of three, shout out a declaration of faith. Maak jou stem dik vir Jesus Christus, die voltooide prys van die kruis, die beloftes wat hy gemaak het, Die belofte van die feit dat hy gaan weer terugkom. En die beloftes van 'n lewe van oorvloed. Dis waaroor jy jou stem gaan dik maak vanoggend. Is jy okay daarmee? Maak jou stem dik vir die feit dat I can be an overcomer in the name of Jesus. I can walk fearlessly in the name of Jesus. That's why I'm shouting. It's a silly little thing. Mosie, hoekom moet ek my stem dik maak vir jou? Well, don't then. If you don't want to make your stem dik, then sit down there and shut up. But listen, as praises go out into the heavenly realm and are made with declaration of faith this morning, as people maak hulle stem dik vir die Here. Are you ready? Roar! Roar! Can you feel that? Can you feel the shift in the spirit? If you can't, kom laat ons vir jou bid. Because Satan has heard men and women of faith this morning that trust God and believe God. Satan and his demons have heard it. And I know there's demons in this place that are trembling right now. Right now I know it. There's spirits in this place that are trembling at the mention of his name. Hulle gaan pak sla kry vanoggend. Hulle gaan pak sla kry vanoggend. Because we great and mighty? No. Because greater is Jesus who is in us than he that's in the world. That's why the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath our feet. Romans 16:19 says, be excellent as what is, at what is good, be innocent of evil, because the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath your feet. Romans 16 verse 19 and onwards, 20 and 21, there or thereabouts. And then Acts 4 verse 31, and when they had prayed, when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now that's just speaking. Oh. What do we do when it comes to laying on of hands? This is the sermon. Now I'm ready to preach. Ek is lekker opgewarm. Yeah. That's when it comes to speaking. Some of us have yet to get to the place where we can speak for Jesus. Because someone says, And I'm saying that respectfully. You need to let Jesus set you free from that spirit of fear. That's up to you. Jesus won't force it upon you. The Holy Spirit won't force you. Neither will I. It is a choice. It is your prerogative, your free will. That's why it's called love. You can choose to live under that fear for the rest of your days, or you can choose to come out of that fear and let the world be amazed. When it comes to laying on of hands, jammer, wie ek? Kan nie hand op mense lê nie. Oh, all right. Faith simply means seeing things the way God sees things. In Mark 16, verse 7 to 18, 17 to 18, Mark 16, 17 to 18. It says the following. These miraculous signs will. Everybody say will. Not maybe. Not, well, there's, it says will. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name. They will speak in new tongues. They will be able to handle snakes with safety. Don't go out now and catch an anaconda, see. You can pak. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed. Those who believe. Those who believe. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. Not those who think, ach, nee, wat. Dit gaan nie vir my werk nie. Well, then it won't. It will accompany the signs of those who believe. The Bible does not teach that every single person will always be healed every time they prayed for by whoever and whenever, regardless of the circumstances. That's not what the Bible teaches. It's an unscriptural thought. It doesn't say that. But, everybody say, but. That means everything that was said before is now changed. But, we must still be obedient and do what Jesus Christ has commissioned us to do. Three of you are excited about it. God help the rest. You're already thinking, oh, nou moet ek vir menig mense gaan bid en my hande op hulle lê. Ek kan nie eens praat nie. It doesn't mean that each and every single person will always be healed every time anybody and everybody prays for them anywhere. It does not teach that in the Bible. How how and when and why miracles do and don't happen and healing does or doesn't take place is a question that cannot be answered in just half an hour. There's several things that need to be in place, but let's just start with one thing called faith. All right. Let's just start with one thing called faith. Don't fear making a mistake or the healing or miracle not taking place. I remember the first time I started walking in this area with the Lord. I was so afraid. What if it doesn't work? You know why? In my foolish ignorance, I thought that I was expected to heal a person. Really, Moz? You can't even change your bad attitude. Now you want other people healed. So the expectation I had was on me. I got to do the miracle. Of course I'd be filled with fear and ridicule. I knew I couldn't do it, and so did the devil, and he reminded me I can't do it. Hello? Now it's a whole different ball game. The expectation is not upon me. I can't heal anybody. Jesus is the healer. Everybody stand up, please. Okay, you can sit down. You thought you were going home. Ha ha, fooled you. But wait, there's more. I need to get this said today. Is it okay, guys? And I hate preaching long. I really, really do. Just a couple more minutes and then God is done. Okay? If you really need to leave, by all means, you can go. Niemand gaan jou kwalik neem nie. We're going to get this done. So God has already told us to go and do it. The apostles have been commissioned to go and do this. The disciples have been commissioned to go and do this. I'm going to read the scriptures quickly. You don't have to follow. You can just take down chapter and verse and study them in the care group when you get together in the week. Matthew 10 and verse 8. He says, this is when the apostles are commissioned to go and do it. The 12 he called. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cure those with leprosy, cast out demons, give freely as you have received. Luke 9, verse 2. Then he sent them out to tell everyone about the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And then the disciples were commissioned. That's when he called the 70 or 72, depending which manuscripts you refer to. And he said this, Luke 10 and verse 9, heal the sick and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. Folks, it's okay to make mistakes. We learn to walk by faith. God promises to fulfill his word. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 4. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 4. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Faith simply means seeing things the way God sees things. Closing thought, and then we're going to get very, very practical, like we've never done before in this church building. The best is yet to come. Faith simply means seeing things the way God sees things. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That's in the New King James. In the NIV it says, faith is being sure of what you hope for and being certain of what you do not see. That's faith. That's faith. So, if your faith is small, remember that the God in whom you believe is big. So what if you've got just a mustard seed of faith? Your faith should not be in your faith. Did you hear what I said? Vir julle daar agter. Your faith, ek wat jy. Your faith should not be in your faith. Your faith should be in the God who gave you the faith. Daar's 'n groot verskil. So what if I got a little mustard seed of faith that you can't even heal a little headache? God, he knows how to deal with headaches. Isn't that wonderful? You just have to be obedient and available and faithful. You need to be a fast Christian. F-A-S-T, faithful, available, submissive, submitted to the Lord, and teachable. That teachable thing, yes. Some of those are so clever, they're teaching God a few things. You can teach them nothing. They're educated way beyond their level of obedience. Sir, ma'am, if that's you, God can't use you, eh? He wants to, but he can't, because you're not willing to learn anything. Been there, done that, got the badge. Okay. So if your faith is small, God is big. It's not the size of your faith that counts, it's the size of the God, in whom you believe. I am done preaching. Now we're going to get practical. Some of you want to go, and I also want to go. I want to get on my motorcycle and ride it with volition on a breakfast run. Hallelujah. I want to go and share Jesus with fellow motorcyclists, their friends and families, and tell till all know. And at the same time, we'll get something to eat. Who knows? So,